Are you excited to be here tonight? I'm very excited. I'm just like, woo, okay? Church is the best place to be. I don't know about you, but I don't miss a service. I don't, because God's presence and because of the fellowship. Do you know we need fellowship? We need each other. We need the presence of God in our lives. And I'm going to speak about something tonight, and we're going to read quite a long passage, almost a whole chapter. So I want you to really focus if you've got your Bible here. It's always good to bring your Bible to church. Otherwise, on your phone, get it out in Romans chapter 8, a scripture that we all know very well. I'm going to start with this idea, sort of as I was praying in the week, the Lord gave me an idea of the title of the sermon, and he said that he wants to break that over our lives, because many of us deal with God as if he's a Wi-Fi God, okay? We need to find, you know, what we do is, I don't know about you, at my house, I've got Wi-Fi, I've got uncapped Wi-Fi, but even when we're there, and there are three people, I won't mention any names like Remo or Yopi or any people like that, but that stays behind my house. But when everybody's on Wi-Fi, then the signal gets a bit distorted and everything slows down over the weekends. Everything is like slowing down. And then you sort of sometimes, I don't know, the South African, excuse me for all the international people, but South African internet isn't very sharp, isn't like, you know. So you struggle a little bit. And so sometimes what we do is when we know that Yopi and Remo and those guys on the other side of the house, we have to take out the Wi-Fi and put it on the other side of the house, and then we have to sort of move around, try to find the strongest spot, and then have a connection, and then say, hallelujah, you know, here we have it. Some of you, I know you run around from coffee shop to coffee shop, and you know exactly where the free Wi-Fi is so that you can download all your series and all of that stuff, but repent, okay? It's not, series is not from the Lord. Can somebody say amen? Thank you. It seems like there's lots of conviction on this side. It's very quiet there at the back there. For the older people, series isn't like serious. It's like a lot of stuff people watch. Spend a lot of time and waste a lot of time, if I can say that. But in any case, let's not get distracted. But so we're all in search of this Wi-Fi spot. We're all in search of this, you know, uncapped Wi-Fi so that we can have this freedom. And yet, there's a lot of distortion because of our culture and because of the way we box God in. And we're going to talk a little about that tonight. And I'm really trusting God that he's going to set us free if we have an understanding of who he is. And there's some of us sitting here tonight, we are offended with God. You are offended with God, but you actually don't know it. There's some of us that have the wrong expectation of God and you don't know it. So because of people that have preached a different gospel sometimes, a gospel of accommodation, where people preach at you and say to you, well, God is really here to accommodate you into his life, but that's not the gospel. And if we have the wrong expectation of God and we don't know who he is, then if the things doesn't happen according to what we think, then we get offended or we sort of get hurt or discouraged. And then we fall into what we call a spirit of condemnation. And so we are not inspired people many times. And I'm talking about charismatic people, amazing people that love God, and we're so excited. But the one thing I want you to remember, that if you know the Holy Spirit, you will be an inspired person. The Holy Spirit brings inspiration, not condemnation. And this is what this chapter is about, and we're going to highlight some stuff, and we're going to read 34 verses. So you need to be focused. I know some of you get distracted after 10 seconds or 20 seconds or 25 sentences, but imagine this is now your final study you have must cram through for tomorrow's exam. Okay, so now you need to focus. Are you ready? Oh, thank you for your enthusiasm. Verse 5, Romans chapter 8, verse 5. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Say life and peace. Thank you. Because the carnal mind is enmity, or it's sort of against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, but in the spirit, if indeed the spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the spirit of Christ, he is not his. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through the spirit who dwells in you. Okay, so just hold on a moment there, you know. So it talks about this idea of the flesh versus the spirit. It talks about the fact if we have the Holy Spirit in us, Scripture says it's the same spirit that rose Jesus from the dead. And we have a relation to God based on the Holy Spirit. God has sent us the Holy Spirit. And yet when it comes to especially charismatic churches, we are very far removed from the biblical example of what spirit-filled believers should look like. We must rather call ourselves experienced believers. Running off the experience, not spirit-filled believers. But the Scripture says here, if the Holy Spirit is in you, it's the same Spirit that rose Jesus from the dead. The same Spirit is on us. But he says there, this contradiction, we're going to look at that a little bit later. Now listen to this in verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. Say, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we also may be glorified together. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly awaits for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subject to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope, because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption. So it says, in the same way that there's this challenges inside of us, the flesh versus the spirit, he says, even creation out there is experiencing the same. It says, into the glorious liberty of the children of God, for we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs together until now. Not only that, but we also who have been the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. For we were saved in this hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one still hope for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance. Likewise, the Spirit also helps with in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now, he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Are you still with me? Okay, just hang on. Okay. Verse 28, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he predestined, these he also called, and whom he called, these he also justified, and whom he justified, these he also glorified. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? Is it God who justifies? Who is the one who condemns? Is it Christ who died? And furthermore, is it also risen? Who is even at the right hand of God who also makes intercession for us? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come, neither nor height nor depth nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. So, what a mouthful. Didn't your neighbor say, whoa, scripture is amazing. Okay? I want to take a couple of pointers out of this passage. It's not a topical sermon. It's more just breaking down the scripture a little bit. But very very simply, he starts off in verse 1. We didn't read verse 1. He says, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ. those who live according to the Spirit and not the flesh. You see, when you and I need to know that in this life, you have a fleshly part. Fleshly, when Scripture talks about flesh, sometimes it talks about the natural and sometimes it talks about the emotional. And so you have a fleshly part that consists of weaknesses and strengths. Okay, I know some of you with the six packs, you think you only have strengths, but you know, but the amazing thing is we all have weaknesses. God has given you certain inbuilt weaknesses. God has made you with certain weaknesses. Now, weakness is not sin. Sin is stuff we need to repent of. But weakness is that part of us that desperately needs God and needs other people to come and fill that void. So some of you sitting here, some of you are like black and white people. You just want to know what's the bottom line. Focus, get to the point, you know. Don't like go around. And then there's some of you that are more pastoral. You just want to make everybody just one-on-one. You're beautiful with that. And there's some other evangelists. You just want to grab everybody in and just make sure they're saved. You know, and then there's, we all have this like these massive strengths. We have these parts of our whole makeup. And yet all of us have got this internal fight. And this is what he writes of. He says in the beginning, he says, there's a condemnation and there's a place where you and I need to know that there's always going to be a contention against the spiritual and or the flesh. And you're going to need to decide. And it's never going to go away. You know, the charismania people sometimes say to you, no, just pray and it's going to go away. But the flesh is never going to go away. That's why Paul writes a whole book to the Corinthians and he says, hey, I don't want you to be carnal Christians because, you know, there's certain inbuilt weaknesses, there's certain stuff and these two are in contention with each other. And so you and I daily need to decide to walk in the Spirit. Daily we need to choose. But if you choose the flesh, what begins to happen is you open a door for accusation and you open a door for shame. And that is from the outside. That's not from the inside. That's where the devil, if you walk in a fleshly lifestyle, then what's going to happen is you start to open doors for the devil to attack you all the time. And that kickstarts a lot of cycles in your life. So if you're going to give into the flesh, if you're going to pornate, that's like pornography and masturbation together, or whatever. Pornate or masturbate or whatever. If you give up your fleshly, if you open up the door to the flesh, then what begins to happen is suddenly the accuser has got a hold on you and he starts to accuse you day and night. But that's from the outside. So now you get into that place where there's accusation, there's confusion, there's doubt, there's unbelief. And there's spirits that come against you. But if you walk in the Spirit, this guy says, he says there's a couple of words that he starts to talk right through. He says life, hope, peace, rest. I don't know about you, but if we have the wrong expectation of God, we will get offended. So many people preach a gospel that says God is going to remove all the bad circumstances out of your life and is going to give you happiness. God is not interested in your happiness and he's not interested in mine. But it's when you're in that life, when you're in that circumstance, when you're in that fight of the flesh and the spirit warring against each other, that's where the Holy Spirit wants to come in. That's where God wants to come in and he wants to lift you up so that you're not stuck in first gear, but you actually go to second gear. You actually go to third gear because suddenly the Holy Spirit becomes your clutch, if I can use it respectfully. He takes you into the next level because even if you have nothing left, you know, then suddenly he comes in. But it will cause a yieldedness from you and it causes a yieldedness from me. But it's, you know, somehow we want the escapism from the flesh. But I've got news for you. You're in this world. And there's some good news coming. Okay, are you still with me? Okay, so it talks about this internal war. This place where every day you have to battle this war between your flesh and your spirit. Then he goes on and he starts to talk about this idea. He says, well, very very simply, you need to know that there's one other battle. And that battle is the sonship, whether you're a son of God or whether you're a slave. And unfortunately, our culture in the West, we are masters at living in boxes. We love to put stuff in a box. So sometimes we have our spiritual life on one side, and then we have our social life over there. Then we have our exercise over there. And so now we have these little boxes. But you know, God has never designed us to live in boxes. Because if you live in boxes and you place everything in boxes, then you're always going to struggle more with the flesh. Because you give advantage to the flesh instead of walking in the Spirit. And this is what he begins to talk about. He says, you've not received a spirit of bondage again to fear, where you're motivated by fear, but you've actually received the spirit of adoption by whom you cry out, Abba, Father. That place of freedom. So he says, slavery, you know, slavery means that you fall into a performance orientation with God. You live by rules and regulations, striving. You're never good enough. And the focus always ends on yourself. It always makes you focus. If you have a slavery or an orphan spirit over your life, he says, this is the result of that. You're not a son where you can be free. You're not a son where you can say, hey, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. He goes on and says, you're not just a son, but you're an heir of God. See, each one of you, you've got a spiritual birthright. And the contention in your life is very simply for your spiritual birthright. It's not for sin or not sin. It's very simply if you're going to take hold of your inheritance, what God has called you to do. And so many, many Christians, they just stay there in the fleshly environment where they try to conquer their flesh, and it's so difficult. And now they try more discipline and they try more obligations. You know, I spoke with a guy that's in Paul Rus this week, or was it last week? And he said to me, you know, quiet time has become such an obligation for me. And I said, you know what, it's great to have quiet time if it's part of your discipline, but if you don't understand that discipline is just connected to one thing, is whether you connect with the heart of God. You can have all the disciplines in your life, but you can miss the end result because you're not really spending time with God, you're spending time with yourself. Because you feel obligated to do it. Now see, this is what this whole chapter is about this slavery, where we so easily fall into slavery because we don't have the freedom to call God Abba Father. That's why the Holy Spirit has come, to bring freedom. And some of us are going to be set free, because the good news is still to come. we're still focusing on that. Okay, let me just go to another scripture. Because how do we break this culture? That's a big question. And he sort of refers to it. He says in John 13, verse 35, by this all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. The only thing that breaks culture in your life is a real biblical community. The only thing that will take you away from living in little boxes and treating God as a Wi-Fi God, because you're always running from one event to another event, trying to find out where's the signal the best. Or you run from one preacher to another preacher. Because, this one only has one little bar. This international speaker, when he speaks unto thieth, the Lord cometh upon theeth. And then there's, my cell phone is hot. It's burning. Because, did you feel it? Did you feel it? You know? And then it burns because, you know, the bar is raised. And then you think like, the Wi-Fi spot is, just stay here. And then we fly all over the world to go to this, or we try to do that. But you don't realize that God doesn't want you to fly around. He's given you the Holy Spirit. And that's why to stay in community, and I really want to challenge you, because especially with young people, we run around from one event, and I included we. Why are you laughing? Okay. We run from one event to another event, and we think, well, maybe the signal is better there. And we're going to get to that. You know what? God is here in his full capacity, whether you feel him or not. Because God is not a switch that you can switch on and off. God is not a Wi-Fi God. We need to go and find the signal. We're going to look at that. So that's why he says, what breaks that the world out there will begin to know, is if we form a community around the things of God, around the fullness of God. Are you still with me?
Thank you for your enthusiasm. Okay, let's go on. So now the writer begins to write and he says, okay, there's going to be some challenges. He says the Holy Spirit is like the one who wants to come and make intercession with you. The Holy Spirit is the one who wants to come and help you. And he's been sent by God on an assignment to take you out of the fleshly realm and to get you into the Spirit. And he's got a whole part of that where he says that the Spirit makes intercession with our spirits that we're sons of God. And then he goes on and he says, even Jesus isn't sitting around waiting for you and me to have better pineapple drinks when we get to heaven. He says very simply, Jesus is making intercession for you right now as we're sitting here. Jesus is our high priest. And he says there's such a freedom because what begins to happen, we're not limited to little boxes, because when you go to work tomorrow, it's the same Holy Spirit than what you've received here tonight. It's the same Holy Spirit when you walk into school. It's the same Holy Spirit that you walk into class. But see, fleshly carnality brings boxes. And God wants to break those boxes. Because then it's not in the, ooh, you know. I had a friend. I call him friend by a good name. Acquaintance. Up in Africa. I don't know, sometimes up north there, this guy, he loves to pray for people, but I don't know if you've ever been across it, that people come to you and they really have a desire to push you over. I don't know, has it ever happened to you? Do you know, all my flesh resists that. So I remember one day, this guy says, now they come and all these pastors, and so I'm there and now they're going to pray for me. And so I stand there and I realize this guy, he's shundying all over me, and he's like pushing, and I'm just resisting. I'm just standing there. I say, Lord, you're the rock of all ages. You're the tower of strength into which I run. And I was, so I just stood there. My back was so sore the previous day. I said, I'm not going to fall. I'm not going to fall in Jesus' name. So I was standing there and he was pushing. Eventually, four of them started to push. You know, and I was like, I am not going to fall, you know. Because they think if we don't fall, it's not the Holy Spirit. So I said, hallelujah, I am not going to fall, you know. Eventually, they pushed me over. But it wasn't of my own intention or because I gave in. I resisted, you know. But it's amazing when we start to live with little formulas. When we start to live with little regulations. Because as human beings, we love rules and regulations. It's much easier than having relationship. Come on. It's much easier if you can know this is the 10 steps to good relationship. But I've got good news for you. All of you are going to get married. Woo! Gideon and Mika just got engaged. So they're going to get married. But I've got good news for you. Prepare to die. Because it is just amazing, you know. And I want to challenge us here, because the biggest hurt in relationships is caused by the wrong expectation, where you put pressure on that other person to be somebody that they cannot be. But see, that's the same thing that we bring into our relationships, that we bring in our relationship with God. Because we somehow expect that we need to be perfect when it comes to the things of God. And God is not looking for perfection. He's looking for yieldedness. He's looking for hunger. He's looking for thirst. He's looking for an openness. He's looking for you and I to be real with Him. No pretending, no religion, no pride. Pride is that thing where we exalt ourselves to a place that we are not. But God says He gives grace to the humble, but He resists the proud. Because pride is that thing where we say, I'm gonna do it in my own strength. I'm gonna start to strive. I'm gonna start to perform. But you know, we do that because when we run on the rugby field or when we run in the athletics, when we grow up, everything is about performance. Everything is about what you achieve, what you wear, how you go. And then so much of that is fear motivated. Well, God says, I don't motivate like that. I motivate by invitation. I motivate by not giving you 10 formulas. So all of us, when we read scripture, you can read scripture because you want to get a lot of formulas, or you can read scripture because you want to know God. And this is what he says, you must trust in God's character. He goes there in verse 28, he says, all these things work together for good. All the things, he talks about tribulation, he talks about suffering, he talks about all the stuff that can go wrong in your life, persecution. He says all this stuff, and he says everything in your life, it's either God sent or God used. If it's good, it's from God. Every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there's no variation or shadow of turning. If it's bad, God can use it, and he will use it. But see, everything that happens in your life, and that's why Thanksgiving is so important. He says, give thanks in all things, rejoice in all things. Because as we realize, whoa, maybe there's massive bad stuff happening in your life right now, just start to thank God for the situation. Don't try to put him in a box. Just thank him. Just say, God, I thank you that I trust, because you said all things work together for good, because I love you and because I'm the called according to your purpose. You see, Proverbs 3 verse 5 and 7 says, lean not on your own understanding. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord. That is fearing God, where you start to realize, doesn't matter what happens in front of you, you can trust God. The devil's main aim in your life is not to sin, but it's to question the character of God. Because if you question who God is, then you won't relinquish control. You will have control in your own way. You will start to say, well, I need to withdraw. Why? Because then fear comes in. But if you trust somebody completely, then you know what? You just surrender. It's so easy to give yourself to somebody, to just jump, to just let go. When my son was small, he was up in the tree. He got up in the tree, and I don't know how he got there, but he was up there, way up in the tree. So I'm standing there, and he's standing up there, and I'm standing at the bottom, and I say, Josh, jump! Josh, jump! And then it was probably about 10 minutes, and then he comes to the edge, and then he's sort of like, ooh, and then he draws back again, and he comes to the edge, and he draws back again. I can see now he's going through everything, yeah? And then suddenly he just let go. As he let go and he jumped, he came down. I turned around and I walked away. And he fell. Poof. I went to him. I said, don't just trust people, my son. This is a good lesson for you. I know your leg is broken right now, but just go for it. This is a hard world. And then that's just a joke. I didn't do that. I caught him, you know. He fell on me, broke my chin, everything, you know. But I was like, come here, I'll catch you. See, now some people are offended. They're walking out because they think like, I really did it. No, I didn't do that. Don't misquote me now on that, okay. So, When you start to trust God, there's something in your heart because of, and this is what he gets to. He talks about this thing of hope. Hope, you know, we love to focus on faith in the charismatic church, but hope is something much deeper. In Hebrews, it says hope is the anchor of the soul. Hope is the anchor of the soul. It's when that boat wants to sink, when that boat wants to get down, Hebrews 6 verse 19, you know, it says, you've got an anchor, that anchor is thrown down and it keeps that boat afloat, it keeps that boat steady in one place. And in Corinthians it says, faith, hope and love, these three things work together. But hope is almost like, the difference between hope and faith is very simple. Hope is like the architect's drawing. And faith is taking the bricks and putting it there every day, building on faith, building, building, because you've seen the bigger picture. Many Christians are hopeless because they can't see the bigger picture. And this is what he says, if you understand the character of God, that it doesn't matter what happens in your life, it's either God sent or God is going to use it. You understand, you've got hope. And it's the anchor of your soul. Many of you are running around, you're confused in your mind, you doubt and unbelief all the time, just up and down all the time. And you need to ask God to restore your hope. Just throw down the anchor. Say, this boat is not going to sink because Jesus is in this boat. Listen to this in verse 37. Are you still with me? We're going to finish. We're going to finish now. Now, who gives me 10 more minutes? 10, 20, 30, 40. All the newcomers, 50, 60, 70, 80. Wonderful. I always know there's new people in church. All the old ones just like, don't put your hand up. Close the doors. Okay. You see, if we mistrust the goodness of God and the character of God, then we really can't receive His love. And unfortunately, because of broken families, because of stuff that the devil throws at us, it's difficult for us to trust. It's difficult to surrender. And then we say, yes, He loves me. Yes, He loves me. You know, like that second last song, we're going to sing it again tonight. You know, He's a good, good Father. And when you sing that, what do you register? No. I've got so many bad examples in my life of where was God? I've got so many offenses in my heart. But see, if you harbor that offense, if you keep that, because that was the devil's assignment against your life, is so that you can never experience God's full love. And that's why he says in verse 37, yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. Yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. And then he goes on and he says, for I am persuaded. I am convinced. I have confidence that nothing can separate me from the love of God. You see, if we live in those boxes and we live in the flesh and all that stuff, and then what begins to happen is there's a blockage in our lives, and we're not inspired people anymore. Because somewhere in the back of our mind, we think that God is really a spoil sport, or God is really always focusing on me, that must fix myself and I must get myself ready. And when I do my so much, then He's going to do His so little to add to that. But scripture says, if you do your so little, He's going to do His so much. It's the other way around. But see, the devil cons us because of our culture and because of our way of thinking that, God actually just limits. He just wants to put a limitation. And then we become victims and not conquerors. God delights in you and me to conquer. He delights it when you and I take on that challenge. When all hell breaks loose against you and you just say, oh Lord, I don't even know what, I don't know how, but all I'm going to do is, like Ephesians says, I'm just going to stand. That's what scripture says. When all hell breaks loose around you, Ephesians 6, it says, having done all to stand, just stand. Don't, you know, when you put on your armor, don't wave over your sword and go shandai, run around, try. It says, when you have your armor on, know that all hell is going to break loose, just stand. Just keep your position in Christ. Beautiful. But we say the more we run around, the more we do, the more we are actually going to conquer. Do you know there's a beautiful thing in the Old Testament? When the priests would minister to God, there was this holy place, and then there was the Holy of Holies. In the holy place, there was one thing you were not allowed to do, and that was sweat. They had a linen ephod on, or linen sort of a robe, very thin robe. But the one thing they were not allowed to do was sweat in the presence of God. God hates sweat in His presence. Because it stinks. Especially some guys. Okay? So my question is, are you convinced? Are you persuaded? Because that's what Paul writes. He says, I'm persuaded. I'm persuaded of the love of God. I want us to just go back and read that, because some of you didn't believe it when you read it. Verse 37. Are you still with me? Okay. Yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities. Listen, there's no principalities, because some people just focus so much on what the devil is doing. Oh, the principalities are all over the show and they're all coming against us and you better be careful. No powers, no things present, no things to come. No height, no depth, no any other created thing. Talks about four dimensions there. Four dimensions. Shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. You see, when you're fully yielded to the love of God, you become a conqueror. Then it doesn't matter what comes against you. It doesn't matter what the devil throws at you. You realize that I'm persuaded. I've been convinced. I've come to that place, that position. And so that means simply that you've come to know God as the God without limits. Now in Matthew 28 verse 18 to 20, God says, go into all the world and make disciples of all the nations. I've given you authority to, he says, to go. And right at the end, he uses this little line. He says, and lo, I will be with you even to the end of the age. In modern terms, uncapped Wi-Fi, all the time, 100% signal. Doesn't matter where you are. Doesn't matter what circumstance you're in. Doesn't matter what comes against you. You can be in that position because of the love of God. Because of God's intention towards you. But see, if we live in this other dimension, the flesh and offense and, oh, I always need to perform and all that stuff, they're always going to battle against each other, because you're never going to experience that fullness. And that's what the Holy Spirit wants to bring freedom in our lives. The Holy Spirit wants to be that gel. The Holy Spirit wants to be that clutch that takes you when everything is stuck and you know you need to get to the next gear. The Holy Spirit says, you can't get there without me. I want to put you in that position. And there's some of us that need to walk away from our culture. Some of us that need to walk away from our little boxes tonight. There's some of us that need to say no to the flesh, because you're trying to conquer the flesh by the flesh. You're not trying to conquer the flesh by the Spirit. And so the answer very simply isn't in a little formula. But it's when you become yielded to the Holy Spirit and you say, God, I thank you that you inside of me has given me the ability to overcome. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you, because of the same Holy Spirit that rose Jesus from the dead, I can overcome any fleshly thing or even any sin. Now that's good news, but it takes a lot of humility, because some of us are so used to fighting. We're so used to doing it ourselves in our own strength. And then we fight until we're so empty, until there's nothing left. And then we say, oh, okay, God, maybe you can help. But God doesn't. God says, I want it in. I want in there in that secret place. Where it's not an obligation. It's not a performance. It's simply because you realize there's a birthright for you. You're a son of God. You're an heir of God. And then you begin to realize some of those scriptures that says, even the whole of creation is eagerly waiting in anticipation for your revelation. Waiting for you to stand up in that place of sonship. We're going to see revivals through generations to come where young people and older people are going to begin to stand up in their authority in Christ. They're going to tell rain to stop, rain to fall, because that's what scripture says. Even nature is waiting for sonship. Even the nature is waiting for you and I to be revealed. But because we operate in the flesh, we don't see the power of God. We run off the little miracles. Yeah, and we're so excited about a healing here and a healing there. And there's nothing wrong with that. But we don't enter into our birthright. because of a fleshly existence, because of a boxy God, that we place God in a box. And when we walk out those doors, then suddenly God is not God anymore. See, and that's the challenge for you and I. Will we yield to God? But it's a yieldedness to his love. A yieldedness where you become broken before him and you say, yes, God, you're all I want, you're all I need. There's nothing else and nobody else that can fill this space. Holy Spirit, start to make intercession as Jesus is making intercession for us. There's a place of freedom that the Holy Spirit wants to bring us to, but we need to repent. We need to say, God, we're sorry that here's my work, here's my studies, here's my church stuff, here's my this, here's my that, here's you, God. You've got quite a bigger box than the rest of these other ones. But Lord, I'll give you another bigger box this Sunday. What about a container? And then God says, I'm not interested. God wants to smash the boxes. And that only comes through a place of yieldedness. Will you stand with me tonight? You see, there are some of you and some of us here that we speak death over ourselves in this area because you've started to fall in this cycle. And this is how you know you're in this cycle, in a fleshly cycle. Is you're always saying the next couple of stuff. You're saying, I really struggle to hear the voice of God. Or I don't know, or I don't hear the voice of God. God doesn't speak to me. On the other hand, everything is always like, oh, it's hard work. It's obligation, perfectionism, ready, getting in there. But there comes a time in your life where you become honest that your effort and my effort means absolutely nothing. I love what Gary Kirsten said this morning when he was at the end of his career. Scored basically nothing against all in these test matches, and then him and his wife prayed. And then God, he says he doesn't know what happened. He just realized for the first time, God is in his cricket. He scored 2. The next day he went on. Amazing testimony. He says, what happened is they were 180, the South Africans were 180 all out. So they were already following on. So he had to go and bat twice. And he says he had absolutely no confidence. No confidence. He just wanted to stop. He was at the end of his career. And then the Holy Spirit started to take over. Then God came into his cricket match. He scored 275. He doesn't know what happened. He just says it happened. Because sometimes it's in that best effort of yours, it's in that Isaac that you must bring to God. It's in that desire to have a husband or that desire to have a wife that's going to fulfill you. And then we become so desperate until we come to God and we say, God, you'll work all things together. You'll work all things together. I believe your character. I believe it, and I choose every day to believe what the Holy Spirit imprints in my spirit. I choose every day. God, these people are saying nasty stuff of me, and oh Lord, it's not lekker, it's not nice. But you know what, God? I choose to believe your character. I choose to believe that, Lord, even I know sickness is not from you. I know it's from the pit of hell, but God, you can use all of this. Don't understand why. Sickness is not from you, but God, this death is not from you. But God, I yield to you. You see, there's some of us tonight, you're offended with God. Deep down in your heart, because of prayers you prayed and stuff you did, and he didn't come didn't work out and you've lost hope. And tonight I want to say very straightforward with all the love in my heart for you, stop playing a game with God. That offense in your heart is set up for you to backslide and to walk away from God. Because scripture says, even when you come to the altar and you realize that there's somebody else that has got something against you, go and make restitution. Don't let that unforgiveness, don't let that bitterness, don't let that offense creep into your heart. Because then you're going to question the character of God, and then you keep God's love at a distance. And that's where the Holy Spirit wants to come in. He wants us to be an inspired people. He wants us to be a group of people that love the revelation of who God is. Where there's a free flow of the water of God through your life. Where there's no wells that are blocked, no pipes that are blocked anymore. It's just like, you don't need to run around trying to find out where's the best spot. Oh, where's the best spot? Maybe it's over there. You can just drop all of it and say, God, you are here right now. Whether I feel so or not, it doesn't matter. Because you said, lo, you will be with me. I want to pray for the first group of people. If you are here and you're backslidden tonight, or you don't know Jesus, you're backslidden or you don't know Jesus, you actually don't have a relationship with God, then tonight is your night of salvation. Tonight is your turning back to God and saying to God, God, I'm not going to try in my own strength. I need a Savior. I need you to come and save me. If that's you tonight, I want you from where you are, and I'm not going to make it easy on you. If that's you tonight, you're backslidden in your heart. You're offended with God. You're offended with church. You're offended with Christians. And you've got all the excuses, all the right excuses. But you know that the problem lies in your heart. It's a heart issue. I want you to come out and respond to the love of God. If that's you tonight, I want you to respond, because God wants you to conquer. God wants you to conquer even that offense in your life. I want you to come quickly. I'm going to wait for you in front here. If there's anybody like that tonight, you're backslidden in your heart, you've walked away from God, you just know that you're far from God, anybody like that, I want you to come. Because you can say, oh no, I've tried everything in my own strength, I've tried so many times. Tonight He's going to heal your heart. Jesus is going to heal your heart. I want you to come, sir. I want you to come, lady. Because only Jesus can heal that deep, deep hurt and pain in your heart. And He's going to set you free tonight. He's going to set you free of the expectation that people have over your life and the pressures that they've placed on you. And that's what the forgiveness of Jesus does. It sets us free. Thank you, Jesus. I want you to come quickly. I want to pray for some people that have lost hope. I want you to come here. You've lost hope. And you know that you don't have hope because very simply, when a storm comes into your life, the first thing that you grab hold of is the fleshly stuff. You run for that food that you eat. You run for that porn that you watch. What's your default? What's your default? When stuff goes tense, then there's not a yieldedness to the character of God. There's a yieldedness to your flesh. You always run back to the flesh. Oh, and then it causes you for days just to try and get out of that cycle again. I want you to come. I want you to come and stand in front. Because we're going to ask God to release sonship over you. To release His freedom over you. I want you to come quickly if that's you. Maybe you're here, you've been questioning God's goodness. And you've just allowed so many stuff to come. The Holy Spirit is going to help you tonight. The Holy Spirit is going to break the chains over your life and just set you free. The last group of people I want to talk to is the boxy people. We love our boxes. love our boxes. If you always live in that box zone, I want you to go out. I want you to go and stand on that side in front there. Oh, maybe that side or in front right over there, because we're going to anoint you. If you're not filled with the Holy Spirit tonight, you don't know, have that freedom of just His complete yieldedness, that place where you can make intercession. Maybe you're not Spirit-filled, or you can't pray in the Spirit, you can't pray in tongues, and you want to be released in that. I want you to go right to the front, right to the corner there. And what we're going to do is we're going to sing that second last song again, but I want all of us, I want us to open up our hearts. And when you're going to sing it, some of you are going to need to sing this by faith. When we sing, I want us to flight those words. Can we do that? You're a good, good Father. And I trust that tomorrow morning when you wake up, you'll be able to sing the same song. And you will go into your workplace where there's lots of stuff against you, whatever the devil is throwing against you, against your studies or whatever, you can still say, I'm defined by God. I'm defined by His love. I'm a conqueror. I can overcome anything that comes my way, even any temptation. He will make a way of escape. That's what Scripture says. I'm not going to yield and become a victim. And let me say very honest, at this stage in the world, in the Western world, Christians are becoming victims to the pressure of society. Christians are giving in to everything that the Bible says is not the truth. Whether it's gay rights, whether it's whatever, just like any other sin. No, let's be tolerant. But Scripture is very clear. Just like adultery, just like fornication, just like homosexuality, just like all of that stuff, it needs to be repented of. But see, if the Christians become silent, if we stop worshiping God, if we stop walking into that place, now we become victims. The devil pressurizes us, and then there's no boldness, there's no confidence in the love of God. We stop speaking, we stop saying, and then the whole world tramples us underfoot because the salt has lost its flavor. Trampled underfoot by men, Scripture says. But tonight God is breaking little boxes over us. So we're going to sing that song. Where's that with those words? Have you guys got it at the back there? You're a good, good Father. It's who you are. I pray that as you're going to sing that, you're going to proclaim it over your life. The next verse, and I'm loved by you. It's who I am. I'm defined by your love. Nothing can separate me from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Just go to the next verse. Is there another verse? You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. God is perfect. It's the only perfect thing in your life. Love so undeniable, I can hardly speak. Peace so unexplainable, I can hardly think. When you're lost and you're persuaded of the love of God, love so undeniable, let's stop putting up walls between us and God because of our offense. So we're going to sing that, and some of us, you just need to sing it by faith, not because you feel it, but because that's what God says He is. Amen. So let's just sing that and then we're going to pray.